Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening, everybody? It is Wednesday, August 21st edition, heading into the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and Cullen Steele running things for us. Are going to be getting into a lot of Saints talk, obviously. Preseason finale coming on Sunday. Also, another open practice for fans coming Friday afternoon in the Caesars Superdome. Last night at Yulman Stadium, it was a perfect night, and it was great to just see the black and gold faithful out there and the team back on the field.
It had a great crowd.
It just felt right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a great crowd. They love their Saints. The Houdat Nation, we love our team. Listen, now, can you throw some love back? I mean, I can tell you right now, I think Saints fans, now, once you win a Super Bowl, it's like, and I don't think this, it's just not fair. You can't say Super Bowl or bust. You're not being realistic.
Playoffs are bust.
Yes. No, that's fair. That's fair. No, that's unacceptable. If you're a Falcons fan, the Falcons, six straight seasons without being in the postseason, that's why all their chips are in. They don't want to be seven seasons not in the postseason. That's why they go get the pass rusher, they get the safety, they got Kirk Cousins. I wish they'd have kept Desmond Ridder. He ain't even being out clean tuned with the Cardinals to be the backup to Kyler Murray. So I wish they had him. So when you look at the expectations and look how – then we all think – you never know about football. That's what's so intriguing. You never know. Then we all kind of think, oh, well, you worried about Tampa Bay. I ain't worried about Tampa Bay. Tom Brady's retiring. Tom Brady's gone.
Right, you got Baker Mayfield running things
there. Tampa Bay ain't going to do nothing. Oh, look what has occurred and how relevant Tampa Bay has been. You know, what have you done for me lately?
Right, exactly.
You know, the Saints, you can have many runs and all that. Well, the Saints, no, we cannot go four straight seasons not being in the postseason. Sorry. Tough love. Six, seven, eight coaches get fired every year. You know, everybody wants to win. Everybody's not going to win. But it's just the way it is. It's a bottom-line business. You have to win. And you got the fan base that wants to be in that number and support your team. So just win. You know, that old Al Davis thing that I keep saying that over and over again. Just win, baby. I don't care if it's an ugly win.
When you like a black and gold shirt like that, just win, baby, because we could take that mantra.
Yeah, just I don't care if it's ugly. There's no
exactly.
such thing
just
as an NFL. There's no such thing as an NFL ugly win.
No, every win's pretty.
No, they all count the same. You could crush an opponent, or you can win in a shootout, or you can be like, man, we won that game. Who? We didn't even have 10 first downs. But then you're opportunistic. You take the football away, and maybe you have a scoop and score, a pick six. You know, you plus two or three, come with it might be like, oh, we won that game 16-13, we're down 16-14. Are you going to make or miss the kick? It's a 60-yarder. Oh, it's good. We won the game.
Speaking of 60-yarders, how about Charlie Smith yesterday? Even though head coach Dennis Allen said after the practice, he's like, we're not lining up for 65-yarders regularly during the season.
No, because if you miss it, look at the field position you're pulling. Now, that can't happen, though, at the end of the first half. Or at the end of the game.
I was going to say, you could need a – all of a sudden you're driving down the field, you get stuck, and, well, you need a long one to pull it out.
No, that would be more – to me, when you do those 60-plus yard kicks, that's the end of the first half, end of the game. Are you going to make it or miss it? You know, obviously, to get the momentum going in at halftime, boy, you score. And then if you miss it, well, the half's over. You know, you could play those minutes, those seconds, down to the parlay. That's why, you know, field position and the punter is so important. Those hidden yardage of, we got the ball at our own 35-yard line. Well, hell, you get a couple of first downs. We in scoring range. You know, and ultimately you want to get touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. But if you are settling for field goals, at least you're getting points.
Right.
And you're getting points. And if your defense is worth their salt.
Which the Saints is.
We win the game.
Right.
You have a chance to win. I told you this. Steve. I've been doing the radio now for 26 years. I don't know how many times this is in my brain. I probably dream about this at times with Mara, who's 89 years of age now, would tell us. about how you get the double-digit wins. Now, we only played 60, now they play 70. How do you get the 10 wins? I'm telling you, this is so true. If you're, like, going about in the right direction, you know, you think, like, we got to score every time we touch the ball. Yeah, why not? Who wouldn't want to do that? Or we got to shut them out. No, you ain't going to shut out nobody in the NFL. That's not realistic. But he would say, Bobby, I tell you what, we're going to have a defense. That don't patrol. And he would get on Rick, you know. He would say, and Sam Mills and all that, and Pat Swilling, come on. If they score more than 17 points, shame on us. And he would tell me, Bob, if we hold opponent to 17 points, we better damn win.
Right, shame on us, right.
We better win. And he would say, now, Bobby, with the offense, can we score 23? Not 27, 31 and all that. Can we score 23 points? I think that's enough. With our defense, we should be able to win the game. I think with Dennis Allen, that's kind of where we're at with the Saints right now. You know, if you look at scoring offense.
Don't allow more than 20 points.
Yeah, yeah. Scoring offense and scoring defense and where we're able. If you look at it, Steve, yeah, this is something that's not going to change. And because I always try to take away the positives from last season. Now, again, this is a little skewed as far as scoring average. But if we could do this again, we might win the NFC South. Do you know we were ninth in the NFL, even with the rule changes? We averaged 23.5 points. And we were ninth best in the NFL. We were eighth best, giving up basically 19.2. If we do that again, we're plus 11 in the turnover margin. So you just look at those areas. Scoring offense, scoring average and an opponent scoring average. We do that, I'm telling you, we're going to be in the hunt. And plus 11.
The sack numbers just got to get boosted this year, and it looks like that's the case.
In theory, when you are sacking the opposing quarterback, you force him into more bad throws, or the ball's bad enough in the air, so you get more takeaways. But I can tell you right now, we're not winning anything if that turnover mark, we can't be like minus 4 or minus 2.
Right.
No, that was third best. To me, last year, we did not take advantage of opportunity. There's no reason the Saints should not have won 10 games last year.
No, the lack of a run game and the lack of a pass rush.
And considering the quarterbacks we're facing, like Danny DeVito and all them, or the Pastrnak. I mean, we're going to be facing a lot better quarterbacks this season. And that's why I always say to kick off the season, at the beginning, it's going to be tough. But we got to weather the storm. But if we can, again, you got to win that first game. I don't know if I've ever seen this kind of pressure for both local teams. Who Tulane plays? Southeastern?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against Southeastern, but Tulane should win that game. But you look at the significant pressure on Coach Kelly and Coach Allen. You know, Coach Kelly not beating Florida State. Well, Florida State's better than USC. LSU got to be 1-0. If they're going to try to be in that 12-team playoff and you look at how you get the 10 wins and all that, and you have all kind of – you don't want the natives restless. You don't want the Tiger Nation.
They're already getting restless.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've ever seen the first game. LSU has to win and the Saints got to win. Because it's 2-for-1. NFC South playing Carolina.
Tone setters, baby.
We got to win that. And then for personal reasons, then we got to beat the damn Cowgirls. We got to beat Dallas week 2. I might call for a parade. If we go 2-0, I might call for a damn parade. Uh-oh. Early in the season. Well, then I'd be like, ooh. You think Dallas, the Cowgirl fans would be disgruntled after week 2 that they lose to the Saints? Because, you know, everyone looks from a national perspective what they think your team's going to do.
Right.
And so, like, man, they'd be like Jerry Jones, like, man, we lost to the Saints? What? And all these Louisiana fans that are on that Cowgirl bandwagon, they're not speaking as much right now. They're not.
Right. You know, right now, the Saints are not looked at highly by anyone right now.
No,
a lot of folks are even saying Dennis Allen could be the first head coach fired this year.
Yeah, under the radar. Well, that's good.
Prove them wrong, baby.
Yeah, prove them wrong. Just go out there and do it on the field. Take it one game at a time, 1 week at a time. Just prove them wrong. Sean Payton's taking that attitude in Denver. Well, what is over and under in Vegas with Denver? They won 5 games last year? Well, Cullen, what's the over and under in Denver? I'm telling you, they don't have high expectations considering, you know, in the same division with the Chiefs. And I don't know, Harbaugh and the Chargers, you look at the Raiders. But when you look at the AFC, it's not like you're saying, the Broncos are going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Who's saying that?
No.
Maybe Sean Payton. or he might convince Bo Nix we're going to do that, shock the world, or like Sean Payton did with Drew Brees, the Saints with 3-13, Sean Payton takes over. Who thought in 2006 post Katrina? Now I know we only won 10 games, but we were second seed in the NFC. Man, we were in the NFC Championship game.
Cullen looked up it up for the Broncos. Their season win total under over set at 5.5.
Okay, think about that. I would say, because I'm a Sean Payton fan in this regard.
You taking the over?
Yeah, I would say 6. What was
but
that
like
to
you
brag
mentioned
about?
That to me,
six
that division's pretty tough, though.
Yeah, 6-11, come on. We got the over, 6-11. That's how no one's thinking the Broncos are going to do jack. But Sean Payton said, probably, I don't know what the over and under was in 2006 after Katrina.
Right.
We're 3-13. Now we finished 10-6. Now that's unbelievable. We were the number 2 seed at 10-6. And also, I'll never forget that Eagles game. Remember Deuce? We did that rugby push and all.
Yeah.
The fans were going crazy in the dome. I said, man, we in the NFC Championship game against the Bears.
How'd that happen?
Remember that one play that Reggie Bush catched that screen, and then he was doing bye-bye to Brian Urlacher
right.
And stuff? Now, we overachieved then. But why not us overachieve this year? I'm all for the Saints overachieving.
But that year was definitely obviously a building block to the championship that eventually happened.
Yeah, we came back to earth 2007-8.
Sure.
And then you look in 2009, and then I think we build upon that Super Bowl. The best team ever to me in Saints history is 2011. Especially offensively.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
We were the new greatest show on turf, overtaking the Rams, and you look at the Broncos later, what they were able to do offensively. But I still hold that against Greg Williams. And I think I'm a Greg Williams fan. But that damn 49ers game, the lead changes 3 times under 5 minutes. And they got, like, was it 3rd and forever? Malcolm Jenkins is guarding with Vernon Davis, the tight end. And you look at Malcolm Jenkins, can play safety, corner safety, and you let Vernon Davis get behind him. We made Alex Smith look like the astronaut that game.
No, I just tell people, I wasn't around for the dark days of the Saints, you know, when they were just those losers in the NFL, but I've been around for those tragic playoff losses, man. It's been brutal.
No,
postseason
like,
drama.
It's gut-wrenching.
Yes.
To me, that loss to the 49ers, that's not number one, though. To me, the number one thing is obviously the Nola no-call.
Definitely, because they had a team that year, right?
We got cheated.
Absolutely.
We got, come on, this is to go to the Super Bowl. It's not a regular season game or early in the playoffs. This is to go to the damn Super Bowl.
But twice against Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd say that the Rams-Saints game here and then that 49ers game on the road, because we were better than
them. The Beastquake-Seattle game.
But then they were like under 500. We weren't. I'm talking about... Well, we were better.
Biggest heartaches, I guess you're talking about. Okay,
we were better than them. And then I still look at that damn Super Bowl. That was a terrible Super Bowl. 13-3. I'm like thinking with the Rams and the Patriots.
Yeah.
We just scored more than 3 damn points.
That was my first year on the sideline. I was all jumping like, man, I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't know. That still gets me. And I guess I'll be an old man. I'm like,
I remember when. Bill Vinovich.
Yeah. Who are you? You remember what happened to the Saints? Get off my lawn.
Well, we're going to get a break in right now. When we return, we'll be talking to Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports, get his take on Atlanta, Tampa, and Carolina's training camps. So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on WWL Saints, LSU, and Pelicans Radio after this.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We're going right out to our guest line where Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports, joins us. Greg, how you been as we're winding down the final preseason game upon us and the regular season getting oh so closer?
Yeah, it's nice to have it so close where you can count the days now. Regular season, you know, whatever it is, 15 days. I guess 15 days we'll have a game to watch on TV, and then everybody else gets involved, 18 days now, I guess. Nice to have it so close.
And, you know, Greg, it's amazing. You look at the NFC South, the NFC doubt. I mean, you look how – I remember one time the NFC East was the NFC least, but I'm looking at the NFC South right now. Is Kirk Cousins that much of a difference maker from a national perspective? I guess he is. It looks like Desmond Ridder was that bad. Because you look at the weapons they had on offense and the expectations for Atlanta right now, considering now they, you know, this even before they got Justin Simmons or they got Jadon, you know, from the Patriots to rush the passer. This is even before all the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. And I've always been a Kirk Cousins fan. So I'm not against Kirk Cousins, how he's better on himself. And now we don't think, even if Atlanta has success, that they're representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. But is Kirk Cousins that much of a difference maker? And I don't know. He seems like he came back from his Achilles, but have we seen anything from him in a Falcons uniform?
No, not yet. And he's not going to play this weekend. So, I mean, you really won't know what you have there until the opener, until the Steelers are there on the other side of the field. No, it's interesting in that obviously the odds makers are putting a huge premium on what he brings and what he adds to this team. You know, I mean, if you look at the over-unders, they're about 2 wins higher than the rest of the division right now. And that's after they finished third last year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, if you watched the Falcons last year, they were a team that got nothing from the quarterback position, you know, had lots of promise elsewhere, but just didn't have that. So I totally get why they went and I honestly got two quarterbacks and not one, but
right.
why this national perception is that he solves their problem. And having a new coach and a new quarterback is a lot in terms of the national perception of a team. You know, I think there's people that don't look much farther than who the coach is and who the quarterback is. And if you're looking at that, they're a world different than where they were with Arthur Smith and, you know, whether it was
Desmond Ridder
or Taylor Heineke or Marcus Mariota. They've had a long 2 years from the quarterback position. But again, what we don't know is Kirk Cousins is the same Kirk Cousins he was a year ago. You know, if he comes back, he's 36 and he's coming off an Achilles, and that's not a good combination. If he can be the guy that, I mean, Kirk Cousins played like an MVP until he got hurt last year. If he can be that guy again, there's no telling how much they can get. You know, you think about three top 10 draft picks in Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts that they really haven't got very much out of. So if having an elite quarterback allows you to have those guys look like the draft picks and the stars they were supposed to be, that can be a big difference, you know, and it doesn't solve their pass rush. It doesn't solve questions about their defense, but I think they'll be a much improved offensive team. I just don't know if this translates to them running away with the division the way some people think they will.
You know, the rivalry between Atlanta and New Orleans and very college-like, SEC-like.
Yeah.
And you look where the Super Bowl's at, you know, Saints fans, the Houdat Nation, to this day, they still think, oh, well, the NFL didn't want us in the Super Bowl to win because it was in Atlanta. They didn't want that. Well, you look, ironically, this year, look at the expectations for Atlanta, the Super Bowl's in New Orleans. Well, I know
That's
Saints
right.
fans, they do not want Atlanta to have that most success and have a chance to win their first Super Bowl in the backyard. Now, I still think, when you're looking at the NFC, you know, you look at the 49ers until someone beats them. You look at the Lions, Packers. I think the Eagles might bounce back. I don't know if you agree with that. But I still think the NFC South, whoever wins, whether Tampa Bay is able to do what they've done in the past, that they can be, you know, host a playoff game and win one like Tampa Bay did last year. But no one realistically thought, even though when they beat the Eagles, that Tampa Bay was going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Now, they were very highly competitive, fought hard, but that wasn't a vision. They thought, oh, well, Tampa Bay is going to represent the NFC against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think if this division even got a team in the conference championship game, it'd be one of the bigger stories of the year. I mean, people look at this as still being the weakest division in the NFC and really battling with AFC South to the worst division, period. You know, I mean, it played out in terms of the records last year. I think the whole division can be better. I mean, obviously Carolina can be better. You know, I think the Bucs have largely the same cast, but they could be better. Saints, you know, I think Saints will be hard pressed to be too much better, but they can be better. And Atlanta, obviously, after, you know, they've been 7-10 for 3 years in a row, so they could definitely be better. But yeah, I think right now the aspiration should start for any team in the South. Win your division, win a playoff game, anything more than that, and you'll be one of the better stories that people are talking about across the country come conference championship weekend.
You know, Greg, I always look at different players, and if you're a pro and things aren't always going to work out your way, how you handle adversity. I look at Baker Mayfield and how he's believed in himself. I mean, here you following the NFC South and you covering all the teams and looking what occurs. To me, that's a great accomplishment because no one really thought post-Tom Brady that Baker Mayfield was going to play that well and Tampa Bay would just win. I mean, and win the NFC South. How did you view that? Because no one was saying, oh, for sure, watch out for Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. No one was saying that.
But like you mentioned, Bobby, they got a good start to the season now, facing two rookie quarterbacks in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a year ago, he was just winning the starting job, you know? I mean, he didn't necessarily come in as the obvious starter over Kyle Trask here, you know? So to think about where he is now, this is his team. You know, it's his picture up on the side of the building, on the stadium. He's got a $90 million contract. You know, it's neat to see. And that he bet on himself. You know, I think he, you know, in free agency, it's not an easy thing to take over a team from Tom Brady. You have to be really confident in yourself, not only as a quarterback, but as a leader. And that's kind of who Baker is. I mean, I think he knew he was in a bad place. Got hurt at the end with Cleveland, got pushed out there. Obviously didn't work in Carolina, didn't really have much with the Rams. You know, so comes Tampa, it's his fourth team in less than a year, which is crazy. But I think he, you know, managed to earn the respect of his teammates. Wasn't amazing, but played well. I mean, he led that team to more wins than Tom Brady did his last year. So now I think, you know, I think he's a reason for confidence. I think him coming back, you know, their whole thing this offseason was just bringing everything back. So Mike Evans comes back, and Lavonte David comes back, and Antoine Winfield, and Tristan Wirfs. And there's some people like, wow, was that team so good you wanted to bring everyone back? And they feel like it is. I mean, most of the guys they brought back were the core from that Super Bowl team, which is just, you know, just 3 years ago.
Yep.
And now, you know, you add some of the new pieces. Obviously, Baker's a new piece. They like what they have, and I think they kind of like not being respected, still being seen as an outsider and not the team to beat, even though they've won the division 3 years in a row.
You know, Greg, now I'm not being a homer with this, but if the Saints could do this again, you have a fighting chance. And it could be the same song and dance where, I don't know, I'll look at 9-8, 8-9. To me, that's the same. But how do you get to double-digit wins? I think, you know, you can look at different when you break down the season in quarters. I look at the Saints had a chance to be 3-0. We're beating the Packers 17-3 with 12 minutes left in the game, and we lost. I mean, I'll look at that. But I look at these areas. You look at scoring offense, scoring defense. Now, you might say some of the scoring offense was garbage points, but they were 23.6 points a game, which is 9 best. But scoring defense, and with Dennis Allen. I don't know if Dennis Allen worked out as a head coach, but I think very similar to Wade Phillips or Vic Fangio, he's a defensive coordinator. He always have a job.
Yeah.
He knows defense. Now, they only gave up 19 points a game, which is 8 best, and then plus 11 in that turnover margin, which was 3rd best. So I'm thinking if the Saints do that again, they'll have a chance. Does that mean they're really winning anything? No, they'll have a chance. It might be hovering around 500 or maybe getting to 10 wins. But they definitely under the radar when you look at Vegas and you say, well, take the over instead of the under. But they don't have to invent a chip on their shoulder. It could be like, hey, we just got to go out there and do it. So that's why, I mean, people might say, oh, the Saints are going to win 4 or 5 games. But the one thing was interesting, Greg, is they can win 2 out of 3 phases. The Saints very seldom. They always have a top 5 special teams. And their defense – top 10, if not tied 5. You know, they can get after the quarterback a little more with the sacks. And the offense could be just don't turn over the ball. And if you're winning, I don't know if it's ugly this day and age, if you're winning, I don't know, 17-13, 20-17, or 23-20, so what? That you're not crushing anyone. The bottom line, you just got to win. So I think the Saints have a chance in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the offensive-defensive ranks. So there's 5 teams in the NFL last year that finished in the top 10 in scoring offense and scoring defense. 4 of them won their divisions, and the 5th was the Saints, you know. So I think they had the formula there. It just didn't add up to, you know, if you get one more win, that's not a tie with the Bucs. That's a division title. We have a whole different conversation about the NFC South right now. And instead, you know, I think they got a big win late, like you said. That win, scoring 48 against Atlanta, especially in the rivalry game, it helps them a little bit. I think they were like 19th before that game, and it pushed them into the top 10. But they're still there. It's still at the end of the year, they're top 10. I think the big thing for the Saints is just the start of that schedule is so nasty.
Yes.
Obviously, you get Carolina in week one. That's a game
you
should
gotta
win.
You got to win. You have to
but
win.
Then the next five are a nasty
tough
stretch of teams. I think it's Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles, Bucks, and Falcons. I might have the order wrong, But they could be a good team and only go 2-3 in that stretch. They could be a good team and go 1-4 if they don't play well. And now you're in a hole. Now you're 2-4. You got week 7. You get Sean Payton come to town on a Thursday night with the Broncos. That's another game they got to win.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important for this Saints team to not dig a hole early and not be sitting at 2-4 or 3-5. If they can do that, the schedule helps them out later, and they'll be better off for it. To where you start getting 2 with Carolina, and you can sweep those and stuff like that.
Right.
But I do think it's really important that they not let things get away early, because if they're 1-5 or something like that, then you worry they're not even going to stick with the staff and stick through the season. And then things are rebuilt all over. But, yeah, if they get through that early stretch, that's as tough a 5 weeks as they have all year. They get it in the first 6 weeks of the season.
You know, Greg, and I've said this, this goes back to Jim Martin, all we were playing. Okay, when you look at a division, we used to be in the NFC West with the Rams, 49ers, and I don't know why, Atlanta and New Orleans in the NFC West. There's nothing west about New Orleans and Atlanta. But, you know, again, it's like that being Stanford and Cal in the Atlantic Coast Conference. What?
So,
with that being said, though, looking at the NFC South, and I say this because it's a rivalry, it doesn't matter how good the Falcons or the Saints. We're going to sweep them. Now, you might sweep them, but always take the approach you're probably going to split.
Yeah.
So, now, can you sweep one opponent? So, I'm thinking, like, okay, the Saints, we got to get off to a fast start. You beat Carolina. Can you sweep Carolina and maybe split with Tampa Bay and Atlanta? Then you 4-2. Now, ultimately, you want to be 6-0 or 5-1. But 4-2, to me, is realistic. And that,
right.
You know, because it's a rivalry-type game. But I'll look at the question I have for you. I'll look at Carolina that I don't think they've leaps and bounds. They've grown this much. Oh, watch Carolina. You know, a lot of people say they even could be better than the Saints, like with Bryce. I mean, I look at Bryce going to training camp with his backpack. It looked like he was going to 10th grade or something. I mean, he looked little. I mean, now you could be little and still be a stud, but I just don't see Carolina turning it around that much this year. What is your take on them?
I think they'll be better. I think they could be, if they got to 6 wins, I think I would consider it a big step forward and moving in the right direction for Dave Canales and Bryce Young, making sure he makes it clear that he's the guy. Because there's definitely a window where if they're not to 5 or 6 wins, and if Bryce doesn't take a step forward, they're going to have another high draft pick, and they're going to be tempted to take another quarterback. So, I mean, the biggest thing I think for Carolina is get to where you're competitive in games. Get to 5 or 6 wins. I think Canales is fine. I think they're smart enough not to fire another coach in the first year just because no one's going to come to them and even think of them as an option if they're burning through coaches the way they are. But I think the biggest thing is a referendum on Bryce Young. And he's got a lot more around him this year. I put $150 million into 2 guards, traded for a receiver in Deontay Johnson, put their first 3 draft picks into offensive skill position players that'll help them. So I think a year ago, as much as Bryce struggled, he didn't really have a lot of help anywhere around him. Probably the worst passing downfield offense in the NFL. They'll be better this year. I don't know if that translates to being anything but fourth in the South, but I think if they just get to, let's say 6-11. It's not a pretty record, but it's so much better than 2-15.
Yep.
And now, if you're 6-11, a year from now, you can start talking about competing for a playoff and being a competitive team and a relevant team nationally.
Well, Greg, before we let you run right quick, who's your dark horse? I'm just not even the NFC South. I'm looking at, I don't know, I figure either the Bears or the Commanders might be relevant. I don't know if both of them. But I'm, you know, a big LSU Jane Daniels fan. But Caleb Williams, I think either the Bears or Washington, I think they're going to be in the postseason, one of those teams.
Well, that'd be impressive. Washington comes here to Tampa for the opener, so I'll get to see Jaden Daniels up close and personal week 1. I don't know if Washington can turn it this year. I think Chicago, if you had to pick one of those 2 to surprise and get to, whatever, 9 wins and a wild card, I think Chicago could do that.
Okay.
You know, 3 really good receivers there now. They've upgraded their defense. That would be fun to watch. I don't know if Washington is that close. I don't know, dark horse in terms of picking outside the box, something like that. I think Houston's going to be really good. I think they're going to be the team in the best position to challenge Kansas City and come out of the AFC. I think Cincinnati will be back to being the team they were 2 years ago when Burrow was healthy. So those 2 are the 2 I think about on the AFC side as being the team's best equipped to not make it a three-peat for Kansas City. And then on the NFC side, you know, it's hard. I mean, we talk about, you know, the NFC North is probably the toughest division on that side. We talked about Chicago getting better. Detroit will be better. Green Bay, I think, you know, Jordan Love continues to improve. Minnesota's probably the one team that's taking a step back. But, yeah, I don't know how the East shakes out. There's so much on the line in Dallas in terms of the futures of three huge players in Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons. They could all come together and win a division championship and they all re-sign, or they could go 8-9 and McCarthy gets fired and all three of them sign somewhere else in free agency. So there's so much on the line there. But no, I think, like I said, Houston's kind of the one team that's caught my eye as maybe being elite and at the top of things right there to challenge the Chiefs.
Greg, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And for our little trip around the division and more, appreciate you.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, you guys take care. Have a good night.
Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. You can check out his work there. We're going to take a break. Be right back here on Sports Talk after this. Sunday, 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 folks. The Saints come home for the newly renovated Caesars Superdome, the final preseason matchup, and that's where Bobby Hebert will be for the countdown to kickoff for the Saints versus Titans game. Coverage starts Sunday, 9 a.m. with me and Jeff Nowak, though, on First Take. Then 11 a.m. is the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Inside the Dome, come see us at Gate B Loge level. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Look for Bobby and Team WWL in the atrium area. Great spot there. Great game time in the Dome, 1 o'clock, not noon. Just remember to turn down your TVs and sync up Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak, because our home team knows your Saints team the best. Then after the game, sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. That's 10 hours. Wall-to-wall Saints coverage Sunday starting 9 a.m. here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. Be back with more Sports Talk after this. Cajun Cannon, when you went to go fill your coffee, I know you were asking me who you think my dark horse could be in the AFC, and I'm kind of feeling the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Doug Peterson can do something with them this year.
Yeah, I still don't know why the Eagles fired him. He won a Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, and then you're out of here. No, I told you this, I think about 2 weeks ago. You're like, Bobby, I don't think so. I think you're wrong on this. And I might be. I guess maybe I got Jim Harbaugh on the brain.
Yeah, I'm not a Chargers believer.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know the Chargers. They might be. Remember how for years we're always saying one of the best rosters and the most underachieving teams? I don't know. Was there over and under 5? Cullen, look that up. I want to say, I mean, 5.
Cullen's our Vegas insider today.
Yeah, so.
I just don't see the weapons around Herbert this year.
Yeah, but the Harbaugh team, I'm just telling you, and they got the right quarterback. So just because you think, oh, they're not the explosive plays at all, they might win a different way. I'm just saying, you can't envision the Chargers. That don't mean they're doing anything.
Definitely not in that division either.
To win 6 or 7 games? What,
8.5 is the Chargers under over.
Oh, so that I think.
And that's
they
pretty
won,
high.
They won only 5 games, I think, last year.
Going under.
Oh, no, I'm going over. That's my, like, you know how the Bears and the Commanders and the NFC?
Yeah.
I'm going Chargers AFC, so.
Taking a break. We got no guests next hour. We're going to hit in our sound bank and also all your calls, so hang on. We'll be right with you after the news.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, 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 folks. The Saints come home for the newly renovated Caesars Superdome, the final preseason matchup, and that's where Bobby Hebert will be for the countdown to kickoff for the Saints versus Titans game. Coverage starts Sunday, 9 a.m. with me and Jeff Nowak, though, on First Take. Then 11 a.m. is the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. Inside the Dome, come see us at Gate B Loge level. That's presented by Craig's Electrical Generator Service. Look for Bobby and Team WWL in the atrium area. Great spot there. Great game time in the Dome, 1 o'clock, not noon. Just remember to turn down your TVs and sync up Deuce, Mike Haas, and Jeff Nowak, because our home team knows your Saints team the best. Then after the game, sound off with the Cajun Cannon on the Ciroc Point after. That's 10 hours. wall-to-wall Saints coverage Sunday starting 9 a.m. here on WWL Saints Radio, AMFM.com, and the free Odyssey app. Be back with more sports talk after this. Cajun Cannon, when you went to go fill your coffee, I know you were asking me who you think my dark horse could be in the AFC, and I'm kind of feeling the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Doug Peterson can do something with them this year.
Yeah, I still don't know why the Eagles fired him. He won a Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, and then you're out of here. No, I told you this, I think about 2 weeks ago. You're like, Bobby, I don't think so. I think you're wrong on this. And I might be. I guess maybe I'm just, I got Jim Harbaugh in the brain.
Yeah, I'm not a Chargers believer.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know the Chargers. They might be. Remember how for years we're always saying one of the best rosters and the most underachieving teams? I don't know. What's their over and under? Five? Cullen, look that up. I want to say, I mean, five.
Cullen's our Vegas insider today.
Yeah, so.
I just don't see the weapons around Herbert this year.
Yeah, but the Harbaugh team, I'm just telling you, and they got the right quarterback. So just because you think, oh, they're not the explosive plays at all, they might win a different way. I'm just saying, you can't envision the Chargers. That don't mean they're doing anything.
Definitely not in that division
to
either.
To win six or seven games? What, seven and?
8.5 is the Chargers under
oh,
over.
Oh, so that I think. And
that's
they
pretty
won,
high.
They won only five games, I think, last year.
Going under.
Oh, no, I'm going over. That's my, like, you know how the Bears and the Commanders in the NFC?
Yeah.
I'm going Chargers AFC, so.
Taking a break. We got no guests next hour. We're going to hit in our sound bank and also all your calls, so hang on. We'll be right with you after the news. Cajun Cannon, when you went to go fill your coffee, I know you were asking me who you think my dark horse could be in the AFC, and I'm kind of feeling the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Doug Peterson can do something with them this year.
Yeah, I still don't know why the Eagles fired him. He won a Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, and then you're out of here. No, I told you this, I think about 2 weeks ago. You're like, Bobby, I don't think so. I think you're wrong on this. And I might be. I guess maybe I'm just, I got Jim Harbaugh in the brain.
Yeah, I'm not the Chargers believer.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know the Chargers. They might be. Remember how for years we're always saying one of the best rosters and the most underachieving teams? I don't know. What's their over and under? Five? Cullen, look that up. I want to say, I mean, five.
Cullen's our Vegas insider today.
Yeah, so.
I just don't see the weapons around Herbert this year.
Yeah, but the Harbaugh team, I'm just telling you, and they got the right quarterback, so. Just because you think, oh, they're not the explosive plays at all, they might win a different way. I'm just saying, you can't envision the Chargers. That don't mean they're doing anything.
Definitely not in that division
to
either.
To win six or seven games? What, seven and?
8.5 is the Chargers under
oh,
over.
Oh, so that, I think. And
that's
they
pretty
won,
high.
They won only five games, I think, last year.
Going under.
Oh, no, I'm going over. that's my, like, you know how the Bears and the Commanders in the NFC?
Yeah.
I'm going Chargers AFC, so.
Taking a break. We got no guests next hour. We're going to hit in our sound bank and also all your calls, so hang on. We'll be right with you after the news.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.